Amen. I'm going to be like one of those pastors that wipes his brow all the time. And I got to go, all right, yeah. I'm just kidding. It's just, it's hot up here. Make it short. My mother-in-law says make it short. I take that as an order. All right. Let's stay good in the house. All right, here we go. So we're talking about prayer. Is everybody ready for this? We are finishing up the series today. Get your prayer on. And last week, or as the last few weeks, we talked about first, Nikki preached just a great practical message on, like, what is prayer, how to pray, what do you need to do to pray, and what does it look like, you know, just to create a habit in your life to pray to God. He is there. He wants to listen. He wants to talk to you, and he wants to hear from you. And so she talked about all the gears of prayer, right? First gear is about prayers for yourself. Second gear, you're shifting and praying for others. Third gear, you're now praying and praising Jesus. You're focusing now heavenward, thanking him, right? Fourth gear is praying God's word. So you're getting into God's word, you know, promises. And then with those promises, you're praying those back to him and saying, God, I want you to move in the way you've promised. And then fifth gear prayers are prayers of surrender. Those are the prayers where you're open-handed with God and just say, now whatever you want, God. And today we're going to talk about all these different kinds of prayers and how we respond to God and really how God responds to us in prayer. And I'm hoping to ask some pretty poignant questions for those of you who struggle with this, okay? I'm hoping you'll leave with some answers today. Last week, we also learned that God is a personal, loving, powerful, wise, holy, and all-knowing God, right? That's the who that we're praying to. So he loves us, he wants to be very close to us, and he has all the power, knowledge, and wisdom to do what he needs to in our lives. That's the type of person I want to talk to, right? Whenever you're struggling in life, and that's who he is. That's who we get to pray to. And so when we asked the question last week, well, then why do we even pray? If he already knows what's going to happen, it's because God wants a relationship with you. That's the ultimate goal. It's not about just saying stuff. It's not about just, like, doing some ritual, religious, like, repeating the same prayer over and over and over again. Like, he wants to know how you're doing. He already knows, but he wants you to tell him, just like you as a parent would want your kids to tell you, even though you know, you want them to tell you how they're doing, or tell you, yeah, what's going on in their life. You want a relationship with them. That's our Heavenly Father. That's what we get in prayer, and that's the cool thing we get in prayer. Now, I need to ask you, because you got homework last week, how many of you got the homework and did homework last week? Show hands really quick. All right, still a few of you. Some of you still haven't done it. I'm afraid you're going to have to be held in church detention, and it's going to be bad for you, all right? The principal's mean. We're giving you resources. They're in these baskets here by the teal boxes, and there's a weekly devotional that you can grab just to go deeper in what we talk about on Sundays, and I would encourage you to do it. If you haven't gotten any of the other ones, that's okay. Start with this one and just get into it. It takes you 10, 15 minutes a day to get in it into a habit of devotional time, of praying, of just growing in this area. So I'd encourage you to do that, to grab one of those on your way out. This will be the last one for this series. But do it. Hop into it, okay? Now today I'm talking about stoplights. You like my really fancy Hugandas stoplight? Isn't it adorable? It was really only like this tall, and I know I'm short, but I'm not that short, so I put it up on something else. We're going to be talking about stoplights today, okay? If you got your worship program, there's going to be some fill-in-the-blanks that you're going to want to fill in and join along with us in that. If you don't have a pen, I don't know if there's still pens over there, but there might be pens over here. You can grab one to fill those out. But let's talk about stoplights for a second. This interaction, I need to hear you. You need to interact with me, okay? Wherever you're sitting, you can even interact online. Just make a comment on the stream if you want to do that. We all know what stoplights do, right? So I'm going to say ask you a question about stoplight, then you're going to tell me what it means, okay? So if you see a green light means what? A green light means go. Good job. Yeah, green light means go. This is our favorite light, right? Like, the green light is the good light. That means I don't have to slow down. I don't have to wait for anybody else. I can keep heading towards my destination with no hindrances. Thank you, green light. Anybody love green lights? Yes, right? We love green lights. And then if you're, like, getting up to it, all of a sudden it might turn yellow, and I'm curious about what you're going to say with this one, but what does yellow mean? Yellow means... All right, see, there's a lot of different things right there. This is where I need some hand raising because we're going to vote on this one, okay? Because there's a couple of options, all right? A couple of options. There's some waters over there, over to the right. They're waving at you. That's left, but to the right too. All right. Sorry, those online. We're handing out waters because it's hot. You're in your air conditioned. Shame on you. Should be out here sweating it with us. All right. So yellow light. So there's a couple of options. One is drive faster, and one is slow down. Now I need some hands here. Those of you, when you see yellow light, you slow down. Show your hands real quick. Show your hands. All right. You're the ones that I'm letting my kids ride with, right? Okay. You're the cautious ones. All right. Now I shouldn't have raised my hand. So how many of you, when you see yellow light, it means just get through it, like speed up. All right, so that it's about 50-50. All right. So yellow light can mean two different things to everybody in the room, but it generally means something else is coming. What's coming next is red, right? So it goes from yellow. There's some countries where it goes up and down. So it can be red, and then it goes to yellow, and then it goes to green. I want to go to that country. That's like you're racing, right? All right, I'm ready. And then it goes to green. You peel out. So red light. Red light means stop or slam on the brakes that I heard over here, right? Red lights means stop. You shouldn't go through that. If there's a cop, you'll get caught, or you could get hit or T-bone or accident or something like that. Red light means stop. Well, in most states, red light means stop. We lived in Georgia, I don't know, for about 4 or 5 years, and when we first moved down there from Ohio in this area, we didn't realize how, like, chill drivers we were until we went to a big city, and we had to completely change our style of driving. Because a red light in Georgia doesn't mean stop. A red light in Georgia means three more cars. That's what it means. So everybody stops, and then your light turns green, and then you keep looking, because three more cars are going to come after that red light, because everybody's got to get where they're going, you know? But for our purposes, yes, red means stop. Now, in our prayer life, if we think about our prayer life like a stoplight, some of us sometimes when we're praying, we feel like we keep getting a red light from God. We keep hearing no, 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 no. Like we don't see the answers to our prayer. Or we don't see him moving. And it's like, am I doing it wrong? Am I saying it wrong? Like, what's going on with that? Some of us, we haven't gotten a no, but we haven't gotten an answer at all. And so we're just wondering as we continue to pray, well, what the heck does a yellow light prayer mean? The green ones are the fun ones, right? But even no matter what the prayers are, no matter what we hear or what God says, we are called as Christians, and this is what we've learned, we were called as Christians to do this. In Ephesians it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. We're called as Christ followers to just continually pray, even though there's times where it's just frustrating. Anybody ever been frustrated in prayer before? All right, let's get real with Jesus, right? Yeah, okay. I've been frustrated in prayer many times. There were many times where there was a season of struggle that our family was in, and I could tell you the spot, and this was a big time when we were in Georgia. We were just really struggling in Georgia. There's one spot on this lake I would sit, and I would just let God have it. You know, I would just pray to him, be like, what's going on? Why isn't this happening? And just let him know all my struggles and all the things I was wrestling with, and ask him, why am I not seeing you move in this area? There are times we all go there. There are times that we experience that. And so today, I want us to talk about green, yellow, and red light prayers, and I want us to teach what God says and when he might say it, okay? All right, so everybody got your notes out? Yes? All right, if you're with me, say yep. All right, green light prayers are a yes from God. Write that down. Green light prayers are a yes from God. These are the prayers we like, you know? Whenever we get an answer, those are the good ones. Whenever we hear, you know, like, okay, God, yes, you're going to do that. And there's certain prayers that we can pray that are always going to be a yes. Did you know that? This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to put my little stoplight over here. So we're talking about green light prayers. Boop, green light, here we go. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes. Everybody say it. Say it with me. They are all yes in Christ, so that through him the amen will be spoken by us for the glory of God. Like, when we pray in accordance with God's word and his promises, the answer is yes. We have already received the yes in Christ Jesus as Christ followers. If we're walking with him, he is in us, we're with him, he's interceding for us as we pray. And we're praying promises that we know are in scriptures, and that promise in truth to him, saying, you said, God, that you would. His promise is yes. Those will always be a green light prayer, right? These are the ones, like, when we say, God, don't forsake me, don't leave me. Well, the answer is yes. He's not going to do that. Because he said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you, right? That was a promise. So that promise is always a yes. When we're struggling with anxiety and worry, and we pray, God, give me peace. We know in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that if we pray with thanksgiving to our God, with all sorts of prayers, when we lift it up to him, he gives us peace that goes beyond understanding. The answer is yes from God. These are the good prayers, right? When we're struggling, we're tired, we're weary, Jesus said, give me your burdens and your worry. My yoke is easy and light, and I will give you rest. Follow me, and I will give you rest. Like, that's what he wants to do. And so if he promised it, we pray it, the answer is, everybody, what? Yes. Yes. And so when we learn how to pray like that, we already know we're praying into God's yes for us. But there's other things we pray for that we know may only happen because of what we see happen, right? So sometimes we get a green light only when we see the evidence of the answered prayer. These are those moments when you pray for somebody who's sick and you know that they're really hurting, and you and a bunch of other people gather around and you pray for that person, and all of a sudden, boom, they take an instant turn and they become healthy. Obviously, God said, green light, yes, I'm on that one, right? We had that happen in our family. I talk about a lot with our son, Nat. You know, he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which they did all the scans and all the scopes and all the things to see everything that was going on, and it was there. It was absolutely there. We had a praying church. We were a praying family. We kept praying, God, take this away. Heal him. Until he got to another doctor's appointment. Months later, did all the scans, all the same stuff. Looked at it, and the doctor said, I don't see anything anywhere, and I can't explain it. And we can say, we can. God said, yes. God greenlighted our prayer. So when we see the evidence of answered prayer, we know it's already been greenlighted, right? And those are the fun ones. We like greenlight prayers. I'm not going to spend much time on this one because we know when it happens and we love it when it happens, don't we? That's greenlight prayers. They are a promise in God. When God promises, it is a yes. Now let's get to a more difficult one, okay? Let's talk about yellow light prayers, okay? So now we've moved to green. Ooh, now we're yellow. Some of you are speeding up and some of you are slowing down, right? When you get a yellow light prayer. Yellow light prayers tell us to wait on God. Okay? Yellow light prayer says wait on God. The answer is slow and or grow. Yellow is wait on God. The answer might be slow and or grow. You may not be ready for the answer to the prayer you're asking for. Right? Yellow prayers are the patient prayers. Yellow prayers are all about God's timing. Right? That God may want to say yes at some point, because you haven't heard an absolute no yet. And so you persist in prayer. This is where our faith gets tested as Christ followers. This is where the relationship has to go deeper with God. This is where we attach to the promises as we pray about this thing we're waiting on. And we typically do not understand all of God's timing, what he has to do to get you, to get others, to get circumstances ready for a yes for that prayer. We don't get it. Our small minds and understanding of time and people and relationships and all that is so limited compared to God. And it's the moment that the circumstances get in alignment and agreement with God's will, then he finally says, yes, I've been waiting, I've been working, you have to just be patient and pray and be persistent before I can say yes. We also may ask for things that we're not ready yet to receive, and that might be a yellow light. Think about it this way. Imagine if I had a three-year-old boy who kept coming up to me and saying, hey, can you give me a samurai sword? And every day that three-year-old boy comes, I want a samurai sword. I want a samurai. Can you give me a samurai sword? If you don't know what a samurai sword is, it's the sharpest bladed sword ever. Like, these are the things that go, froop, and then the body just falls in half, right? Like, they're super crazy sharp. So if that kid kept asking me, and I said, oh, okay, I guess I'll give it to you, and handed him a samurai sword, would I be a wise father or parent? No, this kid would be like this at some point, right? Like, where all his digits go? Well, we gave him a samurai sword, and he wasn't ready for it. But he wanted it, so we gave it to him, right? We don't understand. Sometimes our prayers are the same way as that. Our Heavenly Father knows what we can and cannot handle. And we may be praying for something that we're just not ready to handle. We're not ready to deal with the response, or we're not even ready for the no yet. And he's preparing us for what that no might look like. Or he's preparing us maybe for the yes, but he can't give it to it before because we ruin it way before we'd be able to celebrate. Sometimes he has to get us ready. So the answer might be slow, like you need to slow down in that prayer. You need to wait on God and be patient with him. It may be grow. You're not ready for that prayer yet. You're not ready to hear that answer to that prayer yet. You just need some time to grow. I know I had lots of those. When I go back to those prayers I said on the dock of a lake in Georgia, crying out to God, I'm so glad I have so many examples in the book of Psalms where David just did the exact same thing. God, my enemies are out to get me. Everybody's on me on all sides. But by the end of his prayers, he always said, but God, it's you, right? He always focused it back on God. That I wasn't ready for the yes that, or the no that God wanted to give me in those prayers. I had to wait on him, his timing, and me trusting. This is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We see this passage, and they're talking about the end times with this passage. The church was asking, like, Jesus said he's going to come back. Why hasn't he come back yet? And he's saying, well, you need to understand God's time frame is not our time frame. That God knows things that we don't know when it comes to the big stuff, and I believe even in the little stuff of our lives. And God knows what we don't know. And so he says, keep praying. Just keep praying. And so that's what we want to do. We just want to keep praying, trusting that God is in control, that he has a plan, he has a purpose. He may be saying slow, he may be saying grow, but sometimes we have to wait. Now, I want to get to this right here real quick, but everyone to come to repentance, okay? God wants us to be praying for people to come to him. If you're a Christ follower, you should be considering the people around you who are lost, the people who have no hope, the people who have no eternal hope, the people who are actually sitting condemned before God because they have not accepted Christ, the only way, the truth, and the life, the one that made the way for us to get to God for eternity. If you don't care about the people who aren't going with you to heaven, but they're going to hell for eternity, I'm going to say you've got an issue because you're not praying in alignment with God's word or his will. His word and his will is that no one would perish. And so when we pray, I'm hoping that you guys will learn how to pray in such a way that you're praying for the people who are lost, the people who are around you who don't know Christ, and that you're being Christ to them, and you're praying in alignment with God's word and God's will. That's a part of the word for us today. Let's pray. And this is what I want you to do right now. If you've got a worship program, I want you to think about the people around you. Think about some people around you who don't have hope, who don't have Christ. And I want you to make a commitment today to say, I'm going to start praying for them every day. Every day, I'm going to lift them up. Every day, I'm going to say prayer to them or for them on their behalf. I'm going to intercede for them for eternity because I want them to be with me in heaven. And I want you to write down their names. 1, 2, 3 names. And this week, I want you to make a commitment. I'm going to pray in alignment with God's word and his heart that everyone would come to repentance and everybody come to him. So make a list and pray for that, okay? And then you may have to wait. Wait and see if, when God opens an opportunity and he opens the door for you to join him in that story of their life to come into salvation. Okay. So yellow light prayers. Sometimes wait is a setup for a miracle, right? Sometimes God says, I can't do that yet. I'm working things out, and you're just going to have to be patient, and he may be setting up some things so that he can do a miraculous thing. I think about this in the story of Jesus in John chapter 11 with Lazarus. So Lazarus, we know Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were really good friends of Jesus, okay? And in their friendship, you really don't see this friendship anywhere else in the New Testament. And with this friendship, we knew that he loved Lazarus. And he got word from Mary and Martha, they were in a different town, that Lazarus was sick, it wasn't going well, that he wasn't going to make it, probably. So get here quick, Jesus. And it says that Jesus waited a few more days. He waited. I don't know about you, but I would have been a little ticked off at Jesus. If I knew that my friend Jesus could have come and saved my brother from dying, I would have been upset. Have you ever been upset with Jesus like that? I prayed and prayed and prayed. Sometimes what seems like a no is a wait, and it's wait for a setup for a miracle. Because I don't know if you know that story, but Jesus comes after Lazarus has been dead, and he's been buried, and he's wrapped, and he's in the tomb. He shows up on the scene, and like, if you were here, you would have been fine. But he wasn't there, and so they were mourning, and Jesus mourned with them. I'm grateful that we have a God who feels our pain. We have a Savior who knows what it's like to struggle, to lose. And yet he said, this had to happen so that God may be glorified. The waiting was a setup for a miracle. And he says, Lazarus, come on out. Stone comes, Lazarus walks out. It's one of those scenes where, like, he was dressed like a mummy, y'all. Like, this is like the mummy scene in the Bible. You know, he was already wrapped up and dead. So the mummy goes, and they had to unwrap him. It's like, oh my gosh, he's alive. He's alive again. And that word and testimony started going all over the place and all into Jerusalem, the spiritual leaders. That was the precursor to them wanting to kill this Jesus. Because this Jesus was a Jesus that waited for a setup for a miracle. Just like what happened when he was on the cross in the tomb. And we had to wait. They had to wait for the best miracle ever. Sometimes wait is a setup for a miracle. But our call in all of it is this: devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourself to prayer. This word devote means consistent, persistent, like continually. Go to God in prayer. Go to God. Continually devoted. Like, I will pray no matter what. Even if I don't know the answer, even if it's a green light, woo, then you get to praise him on the other side. If it's a yellow light, I'm going to keep going to God over and over and over again. And let him be the God who's in control. Whether he's saying slow or grow or wait for a miracle, that's up to him. Our job is to pray, all right? So that's yellow light prayers. We struggle with yellow light prayers, right? Green light, woohoo! Yellow light, sometimes we wrestle. It's fine. God's big enough for our wrestling. But I want to talk about the most difficult one, and that's red light prayers. Red light prayers are a no from God. And there might be two reasons he says no that I want to talk about this morning. It's either we're out of alignment with God's word, that prayer is out of alignment with his word, or it's out of alignment with his will. Those are the two reasons he might say no. Out of alignment with his word or out of alignment with his will. You can fill in those blanks. See, Jesus will never contradict himself. Whatever he said in the scriptures will be what he does forever. Like, whenever he spoke and we have his word, he will never go against what he's already said. And so if we're praying out of alignment with God's word, like if we're praying something that isn't biblical, the answer is already going to be a red light. No. Okay? Like, if you're a husband and you don't like your wife anymore and you pray, would you help her die or go away, so I can go be with this woman over here, the answer is going to be no. Some of you are like, oh, shoot. Because that's out of alignment with God's will and his word, right? That's not his desire. His desire for your marriage to grow together, for you to stop being sinners in the same house, to be lovers in the same house, to show grace, forgiveness, respect, so you can grow in your marriage. You pray that prayer, the answer is yes. You see what I'm saying? If you pray against God's word, the answer is going to be no, right? He won't contradict himself in Scripture. And we see in Scripture, I'm going to talk about five reasons that he might say no, and some five reasons why you might be hitting kind of the ceiling in prayer. It's like, I don't feel like he's listening to me. I don't feel like he's speaking. I don't know what's going on. Like, there's reasons why that might be happening, okay? And so let's look at some Scriptures real quick so we can understand the reason that we might be getting a red light in prayer, might be getting a no. The first one is unbelief. Write that down, okay? First one is unbelief. If you're out of alignment of God's word with this whole idea of unbelief, James 1, 6 and 7, it gives us a challenge on this in talking about prayer. It says, but when you ask, You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown tossed by the wind. You hear that? The one who's praying but doubts is living their life as like, I don't know if God can do it or if he can't do it. I don't really know who I'm talking about. It might be that you're praying to some being in the universe that might have some good karma and might be able to do something in my life. He's like, if you're praying like that, the answer is already going to be no. Because you're not actually praying to the all true, living, holy, perfect God. You're just praying to some being out there. It's like, oh, I hope. See, no, don't be tossed back and forth. And he ends at this. He says, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So if you're out of alignment with God's word and unbelief, you're going to get a lot of red lights, okay? You're not going to get the answer that you're hoping for. So maybe unbelief for you is that issue. You just kind of have a general view of possibly, maybe, kind of, instead of praying in faith. Now, it can go the opposite direction because there are movements of churches that say if you always pray in faith, you should always receive everything you ask for. And that's the opposite end of the false gospel. Because if I got everything I always ever asked for, we would all be millionaires, living nice, and retired. We're not all there. Not every Christian is rich. Not every Christian has a nice car. Not every Christian just goes through life perfect and beautiful. Like, that's not how God works. God loves us too much to not help us grow, right? So the opposite side of always saying it in faith and knowing then that everything I pray in faith is always going to happen. If it doesn't, then it's my fault because I'm not praying with enough faith. So now you become the lack. And no, that's not how God works, okay? What we do need to believe in is God himself, not the thing we're praying for. That's where the faith is in. You with me? The faith isn't in the prayer. The faith is in the God who can pray or who can answer, with the answer being maybe yes or no. So that's where our faith should be. So unbelief could be a red light if you're praying in unbelief. Number two, wrong motives. If you're praying in wrong motives, the answer will be no. We see this in farther along in the book of James chapter 4. It says this. It says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. It gets really serious in this prayer, right? Like, you ask and you get it, but you don't get it, so you kill people. Oh, boy. Don't do that, okay? You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you have not asked God. That's where it gets interesting, right? It's like, oh, so I just needed to ask God for what I wanted? Okay, sweet. That's what I want to get. But then it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's directly talking about greed and selfishness. You're praying for something from God. Give me blessing. Give me money. Give me wealth. Give me riches. Give me. He's like, no, you have the wrong motives. God always checks the heart before he checks your bank account. Right? If you're praying in greed, he'd rather work on the greed in your life than give you more money. He'd rather grow you out and into something better than selfishness and greed. So if you're praying in the wrong motives, if your heart is wrong, and as you're praying to God, you're going to be praying a red light prayer. The answer is going to be no. So it's always really good to check your heart before you pray, right? God, is there any sin in me? Is there any selfishness in me? I confess it to you right now. Help me to pray in humility and faith, right? That's a great way to start a prayer every time. Let God check your heart. Because if it's the wrong motive, the answer will be what? No. No. So check your motives. Okay, let's get even more interesting, you know, instead of just killing people for money. All right, it gets more interesting. The mistreatment of your spouse can cause a red light prayer, can cause the answer to no. Now, this one's like, what? So if I, like, talk bad to my spouse, like, and then I go and pray, God might not hear me, and I'm going to say yes, because it's in Scripture. We see it in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's talking to husbands. I believe this goes for husbands and wives together, okay? But he's talking directly to the husbands. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life. He's trying to teach the way husbands should be looking at their wives. They are co-heirs in Christ. They're a sister in the kingdom of heaven with you. And you should respect and honor and lift her up, husbands. That's what he's saying, right? So that, and this is where it goes, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That's an interesting one, isn't it? It's like, so treat your spouse right so that when you pray, I can hear you. So if you're treating your spouse poorly and you're praying and you keep hitting a ceiling in prayer, check your heart. Are you talking nasty to your spouse? Are you talking behind their back? Are you bad-mouthing him to your girlfriends or to your guy friends? You're like, man, my spouse, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you go, God, please help me. You know, it's like, again, motives. Saying that's going to hinder your prayers. It's going to create a ceiling in that relationship. Why do I think that is? And this is just me. This is completely Tim's opinion, okay? And I always tell you when it's Tim's opinion. If you want to study more, you can. But when I see marriage in scriptures, it is the relationship that is the closest illustration that we see in scripture of Jesus' relationship with the church. We are called his bride. He's called the bridegroom. And so there's this holiness in that relationship, in that marriage between Jesus and the church. And that gives that image of marriage of husband and wife. It's the same oneness. And so we see this spiritual connection between how powerful a marriage is in our spiritual life and how our relationship with Jesus is. So I don't know. I just think there's a lot of power in that. And so we just need to check our relationships. How are we doing in our marriage? Are we mistreating our spouse? Because we're going to hit a red light. Okay, let's keep rolling. What am I on? Number four? Unforgiveness, all right? So unbelief, wrong motives, mistreatment of spouse. Number four is unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. You'll get a red light prayer if you continually pray and you have an unforgiving heart. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 6. And this is when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. He's like, teach us how to pray. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he gets to this part of the prayer that goes, whoa, wait a minute. It says this in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It just got serious, didn't it? Now, I need you to understand, this isn't talking about salvation, okay? When you pray for forgiveness of salvation and God forgives you of your sins and you have a new relationship with God, okay, you're safe. But if you continue to walk in sin, you're living unforgiven because you don't confess those sins back to God so that he can forgive you the moment you ask for it. That's why as Christians, we continue to ask for forgiveness. It's like, I sinned against you, God. I know I did. I know I was wrong. And then when we do that, God says, cool. When you ask, I'm done. It's forgiven. But he says, if you live in unforgiveness, if you don't forgive the person that sins against you, he's like, it's going to hinder this. When you live in unforgiveness, it does all sorts of things in your soul. Bitterness, anger, rage, gossip, all sorts of things come out of a heart of unforgiveness. And none of it's good. And it will control your life if you walk around with unforgiveness. Some of you have been walking with unforgiveness your whole life. Something happened to you when you were a teenager, and now you're 65. And you've never said to that person or to God, I forgive them or I forgive you. And you're carrying that with you. If you walk with that your whole life, it's going to hinder your prayers. You got to release that. If you need somebody to help you, that's why we have a counselor. That's why we have other people who disciple and mentor people to help you go through that journey so you can walk in forgiveness and forgiving others so that your prayers can be heard. That when you pray and ask for forgiveness, he can forgive you because you're walking open-handed with an attitude of forgiveness, okay? So unforgiveness can hinder your prayers and create a red light. Unbelief, wrong motives, mistreatment of the spouse, unforgiveness. All right, number five. Everybody say number five with me. Number five. All right. Everybody with me? All right. Is this good stuff? Is this helpful? Because I know some of you wrestle with this. Like, why can't he hear me? Or what's going on? And it might be one of these reasons, right? This is a good assessment. Last one of these, okay? Sin and disobedience. And this is kind of the big one that sums up all the other ones, right? If you're living in a continual lifestyle of sin and disobedience, your prayers will probably be a red light. Unless your prayers are in humility and asking for forgiveness. That's the moment things change. But if you choose to not do that and can choose to continue to live in your sin or your disobedience, the thing you know you shouldn't do, but you just keep doing it and you keep walking into it over and over and over again. It's us trying to get to a holy God in our unholiness and not being forgiven of that sin issue in our life. Testament, we see this happen all the time with the Israelites. They kept cycling through the relationship with God. And sometimes, like, they would be walking with him, and God would be with them, and God would give them a lot of green lights. God would speak a lot of truth to them and let them live in the fullness of all his promises. And then they would turn away. They would worship other gods. They would marry other people from other nations. They would do all the things he said, don't do these things. And they would do all of them. And then in Isaiah 59, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's what happened to the Israelites. They continually lived in sin in a pattern of disobedience. God's like, your sin and disobedience is too loud. I can't hear over it. I want you to get right with me. Talk about that with me. And then we can move on. Ask for forgiveness because it's right here. My hands are open for it. I want to be with you. That's what God is saying. So it's all on us. It's our choice, right? We can be like the Israelites sometimes, can't we? We can just walk in, just whatever, you know. We can walk into patterns, not even because we want to, but because we've created a habit that we just keep going back to over and over and over again. And those habit loops of sin and disobedience, they create destruction. They create guilt, right? And so you live with this sense of tension because that guilt's always just walking with you. Do you want that? I don't think so. I think we all want to be free from that. So we want to learn how to not walk into these red light prayers that are against God's word. If they're against God's word, they're always going to be a no. You're walking in unbelief, wrong motives, mistreatment of your spouse, unforgiveness, sin, and disobedience. All those summed up, the answer is going to be no. Unless, like the prayer that we see, I think it's one of the Chronicles. If my people will humble themselves, call to my name, I will forgive their sins, right? And I'll heal their land. Like that's the prayer. That's the prayer he's waiting for. It's the prayer he's always waiting for. He comes to the humble. And that's our call to do that, okay? So you might get a red light prayer because you're walking out of alignment with God's word. And I'm going to finish up with the most difficult one, okay? Red light prayers are a no from God, out of alignment with God's word, or it should say God's will, okay? That's the second one. If we're out of alignment with God's will, we're going to get a red light. If it's just not his will, he just doesn't want to do that. That's just not part of his plan. We can still talk to him about it. We can still pray about it. But he's still going to do what he wanted to do. Now, here's the amazing thing. Jesus prayed a prayer just like this. And so if Jesus can pray like that, just so you know, you and I can pray like that, all right? Jesus is our model. He's our example. He gave us the way. He mapped out the way for us to be able to talk to him this way. Because we see at the end of Jesus' life, right before he was arrested, right before he went and died on the cross and was crucified, all those things, right before that, he was with his disciples and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying to his Heavenly Father. And we know that he went away often to pray to his Heavenly Father because his Father and him had a relationship, which is the same thing that we get modeled. We can have that same kind of relationship, which is awesome. Isn't that cool? And so Jesus is in the garden and he's with his disciples and says, guys, stay awake. Just wait right here. I'm going to go pray. And he goes and he prays, and I want you to hear these words. So he's with his disciples in Matthew 26, 38. It says, then he said to his disciples, he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So he gave them a task. You guys sit here, stay watch with me, because something's about to go down, right? Something's about to happen, and Jesus knows it. They don't understand it. So going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground, and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. That is a bold, honest prayer. He knew what was about to happen. His soul was so heavy. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. This is Jesus. Father, if there's any other way for this to happen, if there's any other plan you have up there in heaven to save people, can you show me right now? Ever had a prayer like that? If there's any other way this could happen, God. If there's any other end to this story, God. But then he ends that prayer with, yet, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will be done, but yours, O Heavenly Father. That's one of the most honest, heartbreaking prayers of Jesus in anguish about to die for us on the cross. the answer to Jesus was no. Jesus got red light prayers with the answer, no, there's no other way, son. And thank you for adding the end of that prayer, because my will is for you to die for all of them. And he surrendered to that. Jesus surrendered to that. We can pray all sorts of prayers with all sorts of hopes, and we can wrestle and struggle emotionally. This week was a hard week. This week we had somebody in our church family that they had to bury their 2-year-old son who drowned in a horrible accident. I had to do the funeral this week. And those are those moments where I'm like, what the hell? I want to be completely blunt and honest, right? It's like, God, what in the world is happening? This doesn't make any sense. I know Jesus felt the same way. If there's any way, this could be different. I know you've prayed prayers where you felt the exact same way. God, what in the world just happened? That would not have been my will. And those are those moments where, like, I have no idea what God planned there. But all I know is my God does know. I know he's faithful. I know I have a Savior who can mourn with those who mourn. I know I have a Spirit who is inside of us, building us up in the midst of tragedy and difficult things. And even when God says no to the things that make no sense to us, we choose as Christ followers to still walk in faith, trust that he has an answer, and that we may not know until we're on the other side of heaven's gates of why. Why does this or that or this or happen in your life or my life or their life? I can tell you that family was so strong this week. And if you want to keep praying for them, just pray for that family. But they were so strong. They said, we don't know why this happened, but we trust that God needed him more than we did. I'm like, wow. That's an honest prayer. Sometimes we're out of alignment with God's will, and we may never understand this side of heaven. But what are we called to do, Christians? Continue to pray. We continue to talk. Continue to come to him. We hope for green lights. We're patient in the yellow lights, waiting for him to either help us grow or for help us slow or to get us set up for a miracle. We look at our own hearts, our own lives, our motives, our sin or disobedience. We look for those things that we may be causing a red light so that we're in alignment with God's word, so we can pray for a green light. And then when there's a red light that we don't understand, we still pray in faith, God, that you had a plan. And we're going to have to trust you in the midst of it. All I'm saying, church, let's pray. Let's be a church that prays. Let's be a church that keeps coming to him. Let's be a church that when we see miracles, we celebrate it. When we see God move, we say, yes, God, you did it. And he gets the glory for it. When he says no, when we mourn with those that mourn. We comfort them as Christ followers, as a body. That's what we do as a church. And when we have to wait, we wait alongside those who are waiting. And we pray fervent prayers that God might move in faith. And then we wait for the show. That's what we want to do. That's the type of church we want to be. Whether it's green, yellow, or red, we want God to be glorified in the end. Amen? Amen. So God, thank you for this word. It's kind of a hard one to end on, God, and it's a tricky one for us to walk into because we don't like the answers sometimes, but we're going to have to trust the answers all the time that you know what you're doing. So God, for us as a church, I'm going to pray that you would increase our prayer quotient. All of us, God, that we even when we wrestle and struggle, we would still pray. We'd still wrestle with you and give you all that's inside of us. That you would relate with us. And that we would hear from you. God, I thank you that you want to speak. I thank you that you want to work, that you are active. There's things in the spiritual realms that we don't see happening that you have been working on and preparing even for years. And we're just waiting for some breakthroughs, but you are still getting it ready. You're still getting the angel armies put together. You're still adjusting and putting people where they need to be for those things to happen. And so we're going to wait patiently in faith that you are God who is faithful. And when it doesn't make sense, we're going to still praise you. Say, God, the battle belongs to you. You know what was, is, and is to come. We're going to trust you with the now. We're going to ask you in the later when we're with you, but we're going to trust you today. Thank you for your word, and thank you for today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Everybody said amen.